I want to say a word about the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland. As you know, yesterday, last night, it was debating over the issue that was brought to the Assembly by brothers and sisters of ours who stand for the truth of God in the Presbytery of Aberdeen. They were seeking to appeal against the Presbytery of Aberdeen's decision to see no barrier to inducting as a minister in its presbytery a man who publicly lives in an openly homosexual relationship. This has been a matter of great concern through our own congregation, many others like us, indeed throughout the whole denomination, and indeed throughout the whole world, where people from churches of every denomination and virtually every country have been expressing their support for those who would seek to stand with the biblical and orthodox Christian faith on this matter. Last night the Assembly met and in a four-hour debate ultimately voted by a fairly large majority to uphold the decision of the Presbytery of Aberdeen and strike down the appeal by those who were seeking to prevent it. The case was spoken to very clearly and competently by the Reverend Ian Aitken, representing the Aberdeen protesters. The motion to accept their position was moved very expertly indeed by the Reverend Jerry Middleton of Edinburgh Presbytery, who argued most persuasively and at the end of the debate summed up in a consummate way all the issues, such as any open-minded person listening to the contents of the debate and the arguments would not possibly have failed to go with Jerry Middleton's motion. All the substantial points were made on the side of orthodoxy and truth, including Bob here, who spoke very finely indeed. On the other side, there were no reasoned arguments. There was no reasoned argument from Scripture. There were merely emotive, personal statements, and for the most part, they were deeply pathetic. The chief argument really amounted to this. The world has changed, the world has moved, and if the church isn't going to become irrelevant, it also has to change and move with the world. Of course, the Lord Jesus said, "What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and forfeit his life?" And surely that goes for a church too. The real Jesus said, "The world hates me because I tell it that its works are evil." So, of course, the modern church invents a different Jesus who hides the truth and loves and affirms with pure sentimentality any course of action that we want to take for ourselves. But Jesus says, "Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." You listen to the voice of Jesus, and the only place we can hear the voice of Jesus, that's in the Scriptures of our Bibles. But our General Assembly has spoken and, of course, set a huge precedent from it, which it will now never be able to backtrack, even though some were trying to say this doesn't set any precedent at all. You just need to read the newspaper headlines this morning to see that, of course, a precedent has been set. So the question for us as a congregation is, how do we react? Well, first of all, we state publicly that we deplore and, indeed, we reject the decision of the General Assembly. This congregation does not recognize the authority of any court of the church to call holy what the Word of God calls sin. And in particular, in this case, sin that excludes very clearly from the kingdom of God. We can't do that, and we can't recognize any court of the church as legitimate that does that. Secondly, though, I do want to say that we, and I personally, affirm my love and my respect for all true Christians, and there are several, at least, among our own congregation here who do find themselves with homosexual inclinations. All of us have sexual feelings that are wrong. All of us, whatever our particular inclinations, are called by the Lord Jesus Christ to struggle for holiness against the temptations that we have to sin. There are such people in our congregation, those who are known personally to me, and I'm sure I don't know them all, know that they have always found in me and will always find in me a brother who loves them and who seeks to do for them what I seek and ask them to do for me, which is to help me walk in the holiness and in the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that will always be the case, and I hope that there will be never any other attitude in this congregation, never anything that would keep anybody from being part of this fellowship, regardless of who they are or what they are. They are seeking to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, though, some have said, surely now is the time to walk away from a denomination that believes and tolerates such things. I want to say this, the denomination is not the church. The church is made up of congregations, people like us, in many places throughout our country. And many of them, I believe, perhaps even most of them, I hope, will likewise deplore this decision of the General Assembly as we do. We've not moved to depart from the faith. We've not moved to depart from the confessions or the stated standards of our church or of Scripture. So why should we go anywhere? And how could we abandon the task that God has given us and the place that God has given us here in the city centre of Glasgow to witness to His truth? And why should we abandon this building that we have just invested so much in to make it a place from which we can proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ our Lord? Imagine what would happen if we did that. We departed from here and went off to meet somewhere else. This building would very likely be taken over with the very people that we're seeking to protest against. We would set up a different gospel of a different Jesus and proclaim a gospel that has no power to transform, no power to save, no power to draw the lost into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. I couldn't forgive myself if we abandoned this place, this mission station, to those who hate the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, we shall not be moved. We will not be moved from the truth of God in Christ, nor from the gospel that we proclaim, nor from the place that God has given us from which to do that. But it does have to be said that our fellowship is certainly impaired with our denomination. We can't approve of what is being done. And therefore we can't, at least I can't, certainly, continue to offer fellowship. Koinonia, the New Testament word. Partnership in the gospel. I can't do that in the same way as we did before. And that gospel partnership in the New Testament is expressed chiefly in the form of money, monetary support. If you doubt that, read the last part of Philippians chapter 4 from verse 14 and following, where Paul talks about partnership in the gospel as giving and receiving support for Christian mission. That's what fellowship is, expressing monetary substantial support for real gospel work. So although this is the point in the service where normally we have an offering, we will not have an offering today. I cannot continue to give financial support any longer to a denomination that has made this decision, and I can't publicly encourage you to do that either, something that I will not do myself. I will not give my money, and I cannot encourage you to give your money to that which would seek to destroy gospel churches and destroy the gospel of Jesus Christ. And over 80% of the money that goes into our ordinary income is claimed by the central funds of the Church of Scotland. I cannot decide for you, you must decide for yourselves. But for today, there will be no offering. There are baskets at the door, and if you want to give to true gospel work, you can do that through the Epaphras Trust, through which we fund our city centre ministries and true gospel missions around the world. In due course, in fact, in about 10 days' time, the elders will be meeting to discuss more substantial matters of how we take these things forward. In the meantime, I want to leave you with a great positive. One of the things that I think in God's gracious providence that has come out of this for good is that He's brought into being a new alliance, a new fellowship of congregations within the Church of Scotland called the Fellowship of Confessing Churches. We have met as elders and have agreed unanimously to join this as one of the founding congregations. It's bound by the Confessing Churches Covenant. You can find it on the Confessing Churches website, which is up there. It's confessingchurch.org. And the strap lines that you see there are the things that we are bound together to seek to do as gospel churches within the Church of Scotland. We're committed to gospel mission, going wherever the need is, wherever churches need to be planted, wherever the gospel needs to be taken. We are committed to going with the true gospel of Jesus Christ. We're committed to gospel ministry, that is training properly in real ministry, those whom God has gifted and those whom we seek to send to work in the Lord's harvest field here and in other places. And we will train and we will appoint those who we believe to be fit for gospel ministry. We will do it with gospel money, seeking to share our resources, diverting funds from that which is false, and seeking to give funds in real partnership and real fellowship with those who want to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ, the Christ of Scripture, the Jesus of history. And we'll do it in gospel fellowship together, sharing wherever we can, not only with those in the partnership in our own denomination, but with all gospel people in churches of Scotland and elsewhere with whom we are at one. You remember just a few weeks ago we were reading in the early chapters of Acts how that story after Stephen's stoning began like this. A great persecution began on that day against the church and it was scattered. But that story ended, remember. So the church had peace and grew and developed and multiplied. The true gospel of Jesus Christ cannot be silenced. The true church of the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be destroyed. And persecution and efforts to discredit and false teaching and all of these things can only, in God's economy, can only cause to serve the cause of Jesus Christ. The Lord is still on the throne. He's still the God who laughs at those who think that they can shake the fist at Him and overcome Him. He's still the God who hears the prayers of His people and who will vindicate and honor those who honor Him. So I want to ask you to pray. Pray that there will be many who will be able to stand and willing to stand and glad to stand along with us and others to proclaim the truth in defiance, if need be, of denominational authorities that seek to silence it, to keep the name of our Lord Jesus Christ truly as the living head of our churches. And can I ask you to pray very particularly today for our brothers and sisters in the Presbytery of Aberdeen who find themselves in an extreme position of breach of fellowship with other churches in their presbytery and who need to look urgently to the future to work out how they can continue to function and to have real fellowship and real gospel oversight. These are difficult days. We will find that there will be people who will lambast us and criticize us for the stand that we're taking. Much has been said about the supposed persecution of the person concerned in this debate. That is entirely false. There has been no persecution, no mention even, from those upholding the Orthodox position of the name of the person concerned. What there has been universally in the press and in the media is persecution and ridicule and contempt and scorn for those who would seek to stand for the truth of the Orthodox gospel of Jesus Christ. The world hates the Lord Jesus because He exposes the sin and the wickedness in the hearts of human beings. And Jesus says, if they hated Me, they'll hate you too. And you need to realize that. Jesus warned us, in the world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer though, for I have overcome the world. Remember, one day every one of us will stand before a far higher throne than the bar of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland. And the judgment on that day will be absolutely just. So let's pray together. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank You that there is a higher throne, and it is to that throne that we bow, it is to that authority that we kneel and acknowledge You as the supreme and only Lord of Your church. We pray, Lord, in these days of grief, as we have seen and heard our denomination publicly bringing shame on the name of our Savior, we pray, Lord, that you would forgive us and have mercy. We ask, Lord, that you would take this and use it and turn it into the beginning of a new movement of power and of strength in the churches of Scotland, that we might proclaim with great liberty and power the gospel which saves and transforms and renews and gives new life. We thank you, Father, for our many brothers and sisters in churches up and down the land who will feel and will be praying in exactly the same way as us this morning. We pray that you would give us all great courage, that when there are those who seek to malign us, as there will be, you would keep our minds and our hearts set and focused on your calling to us to take up our cross and to follow you, to be willing to lose the world in order to win the world to come. We pray very especially this morning for the churches in Aberdeen who lay themselves open to such public scrutiny and indeed ridicule and invective for standing for the truth that is in Jesus Christ. We pray that this morning, as they gather together to worship you, you would be abundantly present in their midst, that they might know the Spirit of the living God in saving power, that you might encourage them and lift them, and strengthen them and help them, and give them courage for the fight and clarity on the mission that you have called them to. And we ask, O God, above all, for our nation, so desperately in need of the truth that is in Jesus Christ. How will they hear unless there is someone to proclaim the good news to them? Lord, until our dying breaths, we pray that that good news of Jesus Christ, of sins forgiven, of peace with God, of hope of heaven, that that good news would be in our hearts and on our lips with a renewed sense of vision and zeal and urgency and joy, that the people of this nation may, in turning to Jesus Christ, find in him the light of life and share with us in the joy that we who know him and love him rejoice in and exult in. So hear us, O God, and encourage our hearts this day, we pray, as shortly we come to your word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.